Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
In Jesus Christ, we were chosen for God to love the world, that whosoever, that's anybody, regardless of the circumstances, we were chosen, and now we have to choose, and we choose to receive Christ to run my life, and I'll not run my life, to run your life, and you'll not run your life, and then all of a sudden, we're in the family of God, and all of a sudden, all of these things we encounter begin to take on new life and eternal meaning.
The truth is, finding fulfillment isn't only possible, it's within your reach. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young wraps up his message, Never Satisfied, and explores how God wants to lead you to a life of wholeness and joy. Stick around, Dr. Young is coming right up with that exciting message. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, if you're like most people, you've experienced some trials this year, sickness or fear, maybe loneliness, just to name a few. That's why Dr. Young wants to encourage you today by sending you his son Ben's brand new book called Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms. This book shows you how to draw from God's strength and trust in his promises in these uncertain times. We'll send you Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Young with today's message, Is Pleasure the Answer?
We do an injustice in this country when we provide all the means of staying alive to someone who is healthy and strong. We take away their dignity, we take away their life, and I don't think we ought to help anybody who is healthy and strong as long as there's an unmanned mop or broom anywhere in this area. We do an injustice. That's not right. And that's what Solomon is saying. He said, you eat your own flesh at this. So here's the competitive man. Here is the person who becomes a lazy man. And that's what happened with the idea of entitlement. And then he moves, he says, verse 6, one hand full of rest is better than two fists full of labor. In other words, he's saying there has to be balance in our vocational endeavor. There has to be hard work over here, but there has to be rest over here. See, that's balance. Somebody who just works, 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 works. Oh, I'm doing it for the family. I'm doing it so we'll have. And they wake up one day and say, oh, what's wrong with my kids? They're so rotten. I'll tell you what was wrong. Mom or dad weren't there when they needed to be there. That's what wrong. They lost balance. Work, recreation, recreation, rest, work, rest, work, rest. He's pointing out the balanced kind of person who moves through life. And then he moves and talks about another kind of person, someone who is a soloist. Someone who just lives in and of himself. It's a picture, really, of the Christmas personality, Scrooge. He said, there was a certain man without a dependent, having neither a son or a brother, yet there was no end to all his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches. He never asked, and for whom am I laboring, depriving myself of pleasure? He just worked all the time, worked all the time, and he accumulated more and more. He said, look what I've done. No reason for it. No reason for it. A reporter was interviewing a man who was very wealthy in a city not far from here. And the man was an entrepreneur, very successful. Everybody knew him. He was an exceedingly wealthy man. And the reporter said, tell me your story. He said, well, I'm a rags to riches kind of guy. He said, I started with nothing. He said, my wife and I got married. We had $5 to our name. He said, we were living with her folks, and said, I went out and bought 4 or 5 apples, or all I could with $5. He said, I shined up those apples and put them in some wrapping paper that I got, and I went out and sold them on the street. He said, I went and sold those apples and made a profit, and went and got some more apples and sold them, made a profit, and I went more. He said, I sold apples for a solid year until my wife and I had enough money to rent a little one-room place where we could live. And the reporter is writing it down. He said, what a fabulous story of success. He said, then what happened? He said, well, my wife's grandfather died and left us $22 million. Yeah. Solomon says, you better be careful how you think of success. Oh, look what I have done. He said, all of this pilgrimage towards success doesn't have any significance or any meaning. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Success in the world's eye and failure in the world's eye, they both lie to you. And I'll try to say it now. I should save it for later, but I cannot. Success is simply being as best you can where God would have you in His plan and His purpose, and using His gifts to make a difference in this world. That is success. You can't measure it in any kind of tangible way. That's what Solomon's telling us. He talks about injustice. And he talks about justice. He compares them. He said, well, it really doesn't make a difference in the long run. He talked about success. He talked about faith. Well, it really doesn't make any difference in the long run. It doesn't have any meaning. We're all going to die. And then he moves down. He talks about loneliness. Verse 9, two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift them up. Talking about loneliness. It's a difference in being lonely and being alone. I spent a long time every week for many, many, many years alone. It's a part of my vocation. It is what I must do, I have to do. The being alone is good, fine, it's healthy, it's invigorating if you know how to handle it. Being alone. But it's another thing to be lonely. To be lonely. There is an emotional loneliness. I remember hitchhiking from Laurel, Mississippi to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, entering college as a freshman because I had a job there working, and you remember what it was. I measured the sewer depth in the streets of Tuscaloosa. So I went there and I hitchhiked there, and I didn't really know anybody hardly at the university, and I was lonely. I met some people, and I moved on out, but that was an emotional, a situational kind of loneliness. We've all experienced that. We move away, we change, that's an emotional loneliness, but also there is a chronic kind of loneliness, chronic loneliness. What does that mean? It means that sometimes we just live in the past. I remember meeting a guy years ago. He had a big button on. He said, I attended the Chicago World's Fair. That'd been 30 years before then. He was still wearing that big button. And you talk to him for 5 minutes. He said, you know, I attended the Chicago World's Fair. I said, boy, that's great. I can't wait to hear about it. That defined his life. I know people in the military 20, 30 years ago, and you talk to them 5 minutes, they're going to tell you about the days they're in the military. That defines their life. Or somebody who had a great tragedy, and they still say, you introduce them, oh, by the way, you know I had a wreck, and they never get over it. That creates loneliness. And sometimes there's a negativity in us. You go to the doctor, you get a clean bill of health, and you say, "Doctor, that is fine, but you know, in my family, there is this disease that strikes so many of them." I mean, there's a negativity there, and that will make you lonely because people get sick and tired of hearing all my complaints, all my problems, what happened to me yesterday, and I say simply, get over it. Grow up. I see people, they tell me the same thing over and over and over and over again. I said, my goodness, there's something wrong with me. No, something's wrong with that person. There is a loneliness there. You know, I was divorced. My wife left me. Get over it. It will mean that you're going to be lonely if you live in the past, or I live in the past, or you don't grow up and I don't grow up. And that is chronic loneliness. Solomon's talking about that. He said, two are better than one. Three are better than one. Four are better than one. You're lonely? Let me tell you something. You jump right in the middle of this church, give us half a chance, and your loneliness will go away. C.S. Lewis talks about need love, how we all need love, and we do. He talks about gift love, how we are to give love. And I've talked about the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You know what that means? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What you need is that which you give. That's gift love. I need somebody to listen to me. Well, listen to somebody. That's how you get people to listen to you. Well, I need encouragement. Encourage somebody. Encouragement will come back to you. That is gift love, and there is need love, and there's appreciative love. Man, Lord, I thank you, I praise you, and I want to give gratitude to you. An attitude, a life of gratitude, is a life that will bubble and overflow, a life that will awaken regardless of the darkness that may surround you. Solomon deals with all this. He says, well, it doesn't matter where you're lonely or not, ultimately, because life makes no sense. If life is like spitting in the wind. Oh, Solomon, oh, solo man. Then he comes and talks about popularity. And he talks about a king. He said, here's an old king who got old and wouldn't listen to anybody else. And then he says a young king comes along and he listened to people and the old king's popularity failed. He says, I've seen all the living on the sun thronged to the side of the second lad who replaces him. He said, there's no end to all the people, to all who were before them. Even the ones who will come later will not be happy for him. What's he saying? Here's somebody in a position of leadership. And all of a sudden, people turn against him. He's not popular. Here comes some young person in the leadership. Everybody's applauding them. But Solomon says, there'll come a day, he'll make some wrong decision, and they'll boo the person they've applauded. He said, that's the way it is with popularity. A hero today, a goat tomorrow. Ever played quarterback? How many of you ever played quarterback on a football team? Little league, whatever kind, a lot of, you know how it works, doesn't it, folks? I'll tell you, boy, you were great, and what happened to you today? That was yesterday. Ever preach a sermon? Boy, pastor, that was some sermon. But boy, this week, what, the wheels came off. Oh, yeah. You see, we can go from mountaintop to valleys and let the world control our destiny and our feeling. And Solomon says, you know, it doesn't make any difference where you're on top or bottom, where you're a hero or you're being booed. He said, it's all without meaning. Boy, Solomon is right, except he leaves out the most important thing. You can't reckon with life on a flatland, humanistic, secular basis. You end up right where Solomon is. Life is spitting in the wind. But when the understanding that the S-O-N from above, the S-U-N, entered into time and space and gave us the ability to know Jesus Christ. And we look at those areas of philosophy in life, we talk about, we discover that we are chosen, and also we have to make a choice. In Jesus Christ, we were chosen, for God so loved the world, that whosoever, that's anybody, regardless of the circumstances, we were chosen, and now we have to choose, and we choose to receive Christ to run my life, and I'll not run my life, to run your life, and you'll not run your life, and then all of a sudden, we're in the family of God, and all of a sudden, all of these things we encounter begin to take on new life and eternal meaning. After the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, all the happy, 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 blessed, 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 you get there, and you know what Jesus says? He said, those now who have been chosen and they have chosen me to come into their life, he says, guess what? Guess who you are? He said, you are the salt of the earth. He says, you are the light of the world. Boy, that is gigantic. He said, a salt that's lost its flavor. By the way, salt never loses its flavor. It uses its flavor when you put a little pinch of salt in a bowl of soup that big, you won't taste the salt, will you? So we are salty as we're in Christ, but we lose our tang, our flavor, our thrust of our Christian life when it's so watered down with so much stuff that we do and we're involved in this world. It gets watered down. That's how salt loses its flavor. And what about light? You are the light of the world. Take a salty Christian and someone who turns the light on injustice, watch injustice run. Watch the power brokers who are pushing all the exploitation of people get out of the way when we simply turn on the light of our lives and we pour salt in that situation. That'll take care of injustice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you come and you take the next thing that we have. Not only was there injustice, there was success. Well, I'm not as successful. You take success and define it as discovering the will and purpose of God as to where you are and where I am. All of a sudden, there is a salty life. There is a life that turns lights on wherever you go, illuminates every dark place. All of a sudden, that is success that will last here and forever. See the difference when you bring Jesus Christ in these situations? Changes everything, revolutionizes everything, takes things that are passing in transit and makes them permanent and eternal because it's a part of the kingdom of God Almighty on this earth. See the difference we have? And loneliness? Can anybody be really lonely when you know there's the salt of Jesus in your life? There's a light of Christ lighting up all the dark places in your life. There's no room for loneliness. There's only room for ministry and meaning and significance as you touch the lives of others. Boy, it's such a powerful thing when you take all of this that Solomon is whining about and doesn't understand and thinks I can't make rhyme or reason out of it, and you just plug in a salty Christian that life is lighted up by Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. It's a whole new world there. Popularity doesn't make any difference. They can boo or cheer. But you're on the team of God Almighty, and you are salty, and you're lighting up everything. You know God's a part of your life. See what happens when you take him who is above the sun and invite him to come into your life while we're under the sun. It takes care of everything, and it makes a life that seemingly does not have significance be eternally meaningful. Give you two quick things to take home with you from all of our study. Two quick simple, basic things. Take that which is a liability in your life. I don't know what it is. All of us have liabilities, right? I came from a dysfunctional home. That's a liability. Not totally, but by the way, all of us came from dysfunctional homes. I hate to break that to you, but anyway. I came from a home that was basically dysfunctional. My father, as far as I know, never said he loved me. I don't know if my mother ever did or not. And they were Christians, but that was just that area. And so here's what we have to do. Two things. Number one, take that which is a liability in your life and let it become an asset. Stay with that. The liability in your life, let it become an asset. Number two, don't go through deep water by yourself. Chuck Swindoll heard this address as he was speaking to the $1 Million Round Table there in Dallas. He said, "Do you have a disadvantage?" He said, "Don't waste your disadvantage." He said, "People are not attracted to sameness. They're attracted to differences." Somebody says, "Make mine the same." That doesn't interest anybody. But he used his blindness and is using his blindness in a powerful way. First principle, take that disability, that liability in your life, and see how God can use it and make it distinctive in what he would have you to do and how he would have you to live. First principle. Second principle, very quick and very simple. When you're going through deep water, and we'll all go through deep water, don't go through deep water alone.
Now, before we end today's program, Dr. Young is in the studio to share more proven truth about the satisfaction that can only come from the Lord. Dr. Young, we've all experienced the emptiness that comes from chasing after happiness. What would you say to someone who's looking for true satisfaction in all the wrong places?
Well, in the wrong places, you keep looking, and you're just like Solomon, you'll never find it. Happiness is a byproduct. I've never found anybody who say, "I just want to be happy." Happiness comes when you discover God's in your life and you discover His plan for your life and you're seeking to make a difference in the lives of others. And a byproduct of those who are serving and loving and giving and praying and working and sharing and listening and ministering to others, you wake up one day and say, "You know what? I haven't been thought about my own happiness, but I am very, very happy." And that gives us satisfaction and it gives life significance. Discover how God has wired you. Find your place of service, of worship, of ministry. And when you discover that, doesn't have to be a big place. It can be a little place, but God will honor it. Happiness comes as a byproduct of a life that's sold out to Jesus Christ, saying, "Lord, how would you have me to live? What would you have me to do? How have you gifted me uniquely to stand in your kingdom in the 21st century?" Have that agenda there. Hey, the byproduct will be happiness, and you're not looking for it. It just falls in your lap.
Thank you, Dr. Young. We hope you're being encouraged through today's message and taking new steps in your own winning walk with Christ. We want to help you even further by sending you a brand new book from Dr. Young's son, Ben, called Survive the Day. Trials in life are inevitable, and sometimes difficult circumstances continue with no end in sight, while prayers for miracles seem to go unanswered. But in Survive the Day, Ben shares personal experience, hard-worn wisdom, and counterintuitive choices to help you flourish in life despite heartbreaking challenges. We're excited to send you a copy of Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young shares the answer to the single most important question of life: why are we here?